You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Shulo.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, hanging out on a Friday for the people listening to us. You're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, you can check us out Friday nights now. We were doing Tuesdays for a while. That noise that you hear in the background, I'm going to introduce him in just a second. First of all, I asked him if he was it sounded like he was either outside or in the wilderness or something. But hanging with you right now, the man himself, Freddie Havoc. Freddie, how are you, my friend?
How's it going, Bobby? It's going great, man. I apologize for all the extra noise. You know, the rookie podcast mistake. You know.
Hey, no, but believe me, we've had more than that. But before we continue on, for the people listeners, we usually open up the phone lines. And I give the number a couple of times. And if you want to call in, the call-in number is 323-870-3387. Now, Freddie Havoc, I want to bring him in, not so much to this show right here, because I want to have him on as a guest, but I want to bring him on so he can help me do a few things, because I like to shoot stuff back and forth with guys who know what's happening. So coming up at about the 15-minute mark, we're going to have Jamie Hinshaw. She's the Atomweight champion from King of the Cage. Hold on one second. Freddie, I don't know if you're rolling in the snow or whatever, dude, but what's going on over there?
I'm not even sure what's going on. I'm literally just hanging out here. I stepped outside of my house to not have any background noise. Like,
okay,
I'm wondering
now
what the heck is going on.
Now I can. I'm gonna put you in the closet in a second. But anyways, real quick. So we're gonna be talking to her at about a 15 minute mark, and then I'm gonna keep Freddie with me so that we could do the news. So before we get into that, I gotta tell you, Freddie, there's a couple things I want to go over before we get to Jamie and before we get to the news. The first one is, I saw Freddie at the Lucha Expo, the second Lucha Expo. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But before we talk about that, I forget what we had going on, but Nicolette Marie, my daughter, she wanted to go check out a show at Delo Jiu-Jitsu. And Freddie was wrestling we went to go see somebody in particular. I can't remember who we went to go see. But Freddie had a big match that night. And I believe it was somebody, was it from the Gold Coast Wrestling Federation?
No, it wasn't anybody from the Gold Coast, but it was a pretty big match. I think I know what you're talking about, which I think I was defending – the OCCW Legion Post Championship,
you had about a million family members there, I can remember, because that place was packed and everybody was chanting Freddie. So it was the OCCW what champion now? I'm sorry.
The OCCW Legion Post Champion.
Right, and we talked a little bit before that, and you're like, man, you know, bro, I just want to look good and I want to do this and all that. And I thought, well, I think you got nothing to worry about or whatever. And then the match came off and it went really well. It went back and forth. Of course, this is before all the COVID hit, and it was really hot. So I knew who Freddie Havoc was. I had known him for a while. But, especially when you go to a show and you're wrestling, you don't really get to see the matches. You're kind of like, you know, getting ready for yours or whatever. So that time I had a chance to actually watch the whole, and I don't, you know, not just because you're on the air or with me right now, first of all, Freddie, I'm gonna say this to you, I'm a real big believer in giving people chances. Like when I used to work for WPW or Kissing Carisma, I would say, hey man, I'm not even worried about the pay, but when these guys come from Mexico, you know, give me a chance against them. If you don't like it, you never have to book me again. And I, that's kind of my take on it. And when I saw you wrestling, I said, damn, you know, this Freddie guy's pretty good, man. I don't know, why isn't he getting a little bit bigger push or whatever? So since that match, tell me what transpired after that match until now.
Well, actually, it has opened up a lot of doors for me. You know, I took the training seriously. Like you said, we've known each other for a while. And, I mean, I'll give a little bit of the audience a history. You know, I've known Fabi for almost, since 2001, I want to say, you know, when I was training, originally training at Revolution Pro. And I remember you coming into a few shows and, you know, we were running into each other in the back, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward to that day of the show, you know, it's opened up a lot. I sometimes kick myself in, you know, I'm not sure if we're allowed to cuss on the air or not, but on the rear end, just because, I wish I would have listened to more of the vets back in the day. I'm not saying I didn't listen to them, but I never actually, you know.
Freddie, hang on. Hello, you're live on WrestleBoss. Who's this? Hello. You know what happens, Freddie? They come up on the board, and then when I say hello, you're on the air. I don't know what happens. They get scared and either hang up or whatever. So that was a call. But whoever it was, if you want to join in on the conversation, feel free. But go ahead. So you continue, because I know you continued on and had some more matches. But then to me, it seemed like you kind of wanted to up your game. And then okay, well let's go up to the because I had you on the air with me live at the Lucha Expo, and we talked a lot about training and stuff like that. Okay, this person's calling back. Let me see if they're gonna actually talk this time. Hold on, Freddie.
I'm waiting.
Hello, it's WrestleBoss Live. Who's on the air? Hello, anybody there? Somebody calling the wrong number?
Sorry, I was calling just to listen to the show. I didn't realize I was going to be put on the air.
That's good. Who are we speaking to?
This is Charlie, good friend of Freddie's. He's my brother. I'm actually at the American Legion Hall in Bakersfield, California. They were hoping to do a wrestling show with them pretty soon.
Oh, coming up soon, even though all this COVID's going on? Is it an indoor or outdoor area?
They have a pretty big space. They could do either. They're just looking forward to things opening back up and doing a show.
Freddie, are you familiar with this caller here?
Yeah, actually I am. He's a very good friend of mine, big supporter. He's had my back for a long time. You know, I've known Charlie for a good amount of years. We've talked about it in the past about trying to do a show up in Bakersfield, knowing that Bakersfield doesn't have a whole lot of wrestling going on, and a lot of activity going on. And this is
well, Freddie, whoever this caller is just like you. There's a party going on back there, whatever. I don't know about you, Freddie, but I can barely hear you. To the caller who's calling in, there you go. Now I can hear you. Are you at a party over there?
Let's put that phone on mute. No, I think he said he's at the American Legion Post. So let me see
okay.
Here real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing their All right, got you.
Okay. So real quick before we continue to our caller. I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Charlie. His name was Charlie.
Charlie. We were talking a little bit in the opening about, because I had seen Freddie wrestle. I hadn't had a chance to actually sit down and watch him, and he surprised me, man. He really put on a good show. So since then, he's been, you know, working a lot more. And then he, like we were talking about, upping his game. He's been training with Mariachi Loco and Little Cholo to up his game. So real quick, you know, because we're running up against the clock, as we have you here on the show with us, what do you see for the future for Freddie? You think he can, you know, really up his game and maybe get to somewhere like, I don't know, AAA or CMLL? Or, of course, everybody wants to get to WWE. Real quick, since you've seen him before, what do you think the future is for Freddie?
I think the sky's the limit when it comes to Freddie. He's got the desire, he's got the will, he's got the gonads, if you will. And I think there is no ceiling that he can't break through. He's got a finishing move that we call the Chiver Bomb, and I would love to see the Chiver Bomb make it mainstream.
Hey, well, hopefully soon we can see that move out there in Bakersfield. But, Rook, hey, Charlie, I appreciate you calling in, man. If you want to listen to the show live, just go to www.wrestlebosslive.com. And you can hear it on there. Okay, my friend?
Appreciate it, man. Go Freddie. Love you, brother.
All right. You got it. Thanks. Okay, so look at, man. You already got people, you know, that want to see you. So real quick before we go to the big commercial break, we were talking a little bit about that. I saw you at the Expo. We talked a lot on the air at the Lucha Expo. And you were already like, okay. When you're in Japan, you're considered a young boy and you're learning your trade and stuff like that. And that's what I kind of saw. I was like, hey, man, I'm hanging with Mariachi. I'm hanging with Little Cholo. You know, we're just trying to get that. What's the word I'm looking for? Like the knowledge and just to get the experience and stuff like that to get. So this is what I'm saying. I'm starting to work with two different companies. I work with two different companies in the office. One is Big House Promotions. The other is United Wrestling Council. And we've been putting a lot of stuff together. And what I just happened to see Freddie at Fantastic Burger. And when I saw him, I said, man, I forgot all about Freddie, man. I said, I'm going to put that dude on the show. So when I went to go talk to these two guys that I'm working for, I said, hey, man, I want to bring this guy in. I said, he to me, the key to it is versatility. If I want to put him up against a lucha guy, he's going to be able to work. If I put him against a strong style or American or a hardcore or whatever, both of them said absolutely, definitely. So it just goes to show that if you put in the work, you're gonna get the. In other words, whatever you put into it is what you're gonna get out of it, and I think that's what you've been doing. Correct? That's what you've been working for, so that people know, hey man, you book Freddie Havoc, you're gonna have the versatility to wrestle whoever, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you know, like you said, I put in the work, put in the training. I'm trying to up my game. You know, the style that we learn at the Lucha Homies school in Orange is a Lucha Libre hybrid style. You know, it's the way we look at it is Lucha Libre with American psychology. You know, we go in there. A lot of the guys that we have right there training with us come from different backgrounds and come from different schools because of the pandemic. Everybody was trying to find a place to train. And, you know, we happen to be one of the few schools that were doing it safely. Not saying that nobody else was doing it safely, but the ones that's managed to stay open, we were doing it as safe as possible, taking temperatures, you know, having the guys come in with masks, making sure they're sanitizer, making sure we sanitize the ring, you know, and we just grew that way, you know, and the class has been growing, you know, they push me as I push them. Because as an older wrestler, you know, I sometimes find it hard to find the not saying that it's difficult, but it's just sometimes hard to find the energy to go in and week out. And these guys push me. They push me to the limits because now I have to try to keep up with them. You know, it's like I know my body's breaking down from years of past, and that's what it is. And we train hard. You know, I started out as a hardcore wrestler, deathmatch wrestler. The transition into American wrestling, and now I'm doing Lucha Libre, and I'm doing stuff that I never thought was possible.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that later on too, because there's especially on the last few shows that I've been working on, we've been talking a lot about hardcore wrestling, and you know, some people hate it, and some people like it, and I feel that there is a space for it in any type of wrestling, but we'll talk a little bit about that later on, because there's a couple of things I want to run by you, you know, as far as hardcore wrestling and death match and stuff. And of course, the thing that's killing everybody is this big lead up to the big barbed wire exploding match that happened on AEW that kind of fizzled. So I personally think they should have brought Atsushi Onita in to tell him how to do it right, because those things blew up in Japan. I mean, they barely touch those barbed wire things, and those things blow up big time or whatever. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to get to Jamie real quick because there's a few things I want to talk to her about, and Freddie's going to hang with us through that. I'll bounce a few things off of him, and then we'll get to the news. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get some final thoughts on Freddie about, you know, what the future is. He's booked with us, especially we had a show booked for April 11th in the city of Torrance. It got moved to the 18th because I don't think we're in the red tier now. And they're only going to allow us 100 people. But, Freddie, we're expecting more than that, dude. So, I mean, that's how big this show is going to be. So we're trying to wait to see if we can get a few more people in there or if they get to the orange tier. But I'm mixing him up. It's going to be Freddie Havoc, Super Canero, and 1,000% Knockout Nicolette against Manny Mars, Lady Cynthia, and Captain Corona. So we're talking about a mix. We're mixing women and men. It's gonna be. Then, if I didn't think Freddie can do it, I wouldn't have booked him. But I know he can adapt to whatever happens in that ring. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let me take the big break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Jamie, and then we'll talk a little more to Freddie Havoc. So hang on for a minute, Freddie. We're gonna take the quick break. Oh, actually, this is a long break, and we'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch all of the great network content this week. Get the full lineup and listen to all of our shows in the podcast network section of luchacentral.com. On Tuesdays, Mass, Max, and Mayhem takes you inside the world of Lucha Underground as they take you weekly through the series with the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of special guests from the groundbreaking series. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. Tuesday nights live is WrestleBoss, where Favi Chulo talks MMA and pro wrestling with special guests and listener call-ins. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez, as they have guests from throughout the wrestling world pull up to give an inside look into their careers. From indie standouts to television superstars, each week brings a new name and perspective. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, either by their own series name or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show pages to get all of the shows in one easy feed. And please consider giving a rating to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Man, that Lucha Central has a lot going on. La Mesa de los Margaros and Straight Out of the Bodega and stuff like that. So you make sure you want to check that out. And, of course, here we moved over to Fridays because it still says they were on Tuesdays. But as soon as we finish the show, Greg DeMarco, producer extraordinaire, puts everything up on all the Lucha Central vehicles. So make sure you check that out. But you're here. You're live at WrestleBoss. Real quick, Freddie Havoc, I got to tell you, man, when I get a lot of these MMA people on, you know, they kind of forget that the time is usually when a lot of them are training, and a lot of them have gone back to their training, and especially Jamie Hinshaw, who's the atomweight King of the Cage women's champion. So she might be training, because I just texted her to let her know that we're going to be calling, and she didn't text back. So if she answers, cool, we'll talk to her. If not, we'll just continue on from there. All right, my man?
Yeah, sounds good, man. I'm excited. Okay, I mean, so far it's been a good show.
let's give her a call. Hopefully she picks up. Are you familiar with atomweight
Adam Wood?
That's 115 pounds.
Hello?
Hey, Jamie, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, it's beautiful. For the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. Don't forget, we moved over to Fridays. And on the line with me right now, somebody I've been wanting to talk to for a while, but with this pandemic, we've been all over the place. Jamie Hinshaw. Jamie, how are you? I haven't talked to you in such a long time. How are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I've been doing good. I know it's crazy out there with the pandemic, and you know, I got a few questions that I want to ask you. But real quick, I got a co-host with me today. We're breaking him in. His name is Freddie. Freddie Havoc. Say hi to Jamie Hinshaw.
Hey Jamie, how you doing? How's everything? How's the training going?
It's going good. And yourself?
Not too bad. The same here. Training hard. Trying to get ready.
Well, it seems like stuff's starting to open back up again. So I'm sure that we'll hopefully be as close to normal as we can get. But real quick, I want to go back just for a minute for the people listening. A lot of them know the story. I was the I don't want to say the announcer for King of the Cage, because Dean Stone was the main man, and I was the backup announcer. But King of the Cage had so many shows that I was working at least 12 shows, like 12 to 15 shows a year for a while. And my favorite place to go was Albuquerque, because we talk a lot about the hotbed of MMA, and Albuquerque was definitely one. And you know, the people from Fit NHB, you know, Arlene and John Judy were always so, so nice to me and took care of me. That, like, that was one of my favorite places to go. Now, Jamie Hinshaw, who fights for King of the Cage. Now, you're still the atomweight champion, correct, Jamie?
Yes.
And we talk a lot about hard work, and in the pro wrestling business, you're called a young boy when you're getting your experience. You know, you're helping putting up the ring, and you know, different things like that. So when I saw Jamie, who was already fighting for King of the Cage, it was a show in Albuquerque. She wasn't booked on that show, but she did more work than anybody I knew. I mean, she was helping, she was getting stuff done, she was helping people with credentials, she was moving. I said, well, see, this is somebody who's hungry. You could tell she wants to be around it. She's always training. And then it paid off. You know, she became the atomweight champion for King of the Cage. Now, since then, I'll tell you what's been happening with me, but since then, you know, how's it been going from there? Because then this pandemic hit, so King of the Cage like shut down for quite some time. And from what I hear, they're trying to get everything back together again. So in between that time, did they just tell you, I don't know, John Judy or Terry Trebilcock or whatever, did they say, hey man, just hang on to the belt. We're going to get back to, you know, get everything back to normal soon. Just keep training and we'll get a hold of you, or how does that work?
Honestly, I've been kind of left in the dark, to be. The last time I had heard, I was at, supposed to fight Grace Cleveland, but she ended up getting pregnant. And I believe after that it was Bean Nguyen or something like that. But before the pandemic, everything was going smoothly. And then it hit and I just kind of was left in the dark. So
yeah.
I just think because my contract was about up and everything like that, I think that's probably why.
Yeah. So they well, this is just from what I hear, that they're steadily trying to get everything back together and get everything going. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, I've been doing this for a long time. I worked for a solid like 4 years for King of the Cage and then off and on for the last year. And then for circumstances beyond my control, I was let go. That's for a later story or whatever. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be honest with you. That was far and away the best job I've ever had. I mean, to be able to go to the fights and you know, announce the fights and just be, and to, here's the thing, even though Adam Waite is 115 pounds, I sit right by that cage after I make those announcements. And I see, I mean, when they throw those body kicks, I mean, I'm like, man, that it is such a big difference when you're right there and you see it from beginning to end. You know, a lot of people don't understand that so much goes on behind the scenes. Like, you know, you got the weigh-ins and then your opponent might not show up till late. So you're waiting and you're hungry and then they come in overweight and you got to redo the contracts. And it's just such a whole thing. You know, people don't understand what you go through to get there. So now that we have the pandemic, do you, because this is how it's gone two ways for some of the wrestlers and the fighters out here. They've either took full advantage and said, look, man, I'm going to keep training. I'm going to be ready to go. Cause when I get that call, I want to be ready. And then some say, cool, I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to relax. I'm going to go take out my motorbikes or whatever. So you yourself, well, I imagine this as the Adam Waite champion, you got to, you know, and especially training at Fit NHB, I'm pretty sure say, but look, man, you got to get your butt in here and make sure, you know, you keep training just to keep your time and everything, or how does that work?
Actually, the last time, right before the pandemic, I had fought in Japan in December, yeah, at the end of December. And I had gotten sick during that fight camp, like leading up to the fight and everything. And I came back pretty sick. So I was just sitting at home, you know, enjoying just, you know, after you get in a fight, just being fat and eating,
yeah,
whatever you can, and
yeah,
just recovering from that. And then started to train a little bit. And then the pandemic hit. And then I took but I,
yeah,
took a break kind of and just nursed some injuries that I was dealing with during, like, that I've been dealing with for years now, you know what,
yeah,
I mean? And I was like, well, this is a good time that I can just sit back and, you know, make sure that that's all good so that whenever they do open up, I'm able to be 100%.
Yeah.
But right now the gym's barely kind of opening up, so I'm getting back into it now.
Right. Well, believe me, I know John Judy and Arlene Sanchez and all them, and that's a tight family unit. So that's some good training over there. So I'm sure it's going to happen pretty soon. But one of the other questions that I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I, with King of the Cage, I went all over and we've done the, you know, there's three different cages. There's the super big cage, like when they do arenas, like out here, it's the one in San Bernardino is the big one that they do. So they have the big cage. And then they have like a medium-sized cage that they do when like we're on the Indian reservations and they have like an arena right there. But then like when we do the fights in Albuquerque, when they have them at the Embassy Suites, it's like a ballroom. So the cage is there is no room to run in that cage. That especially that cage is small. Do you think that makes a difference? You know, because to me, it seems like in that smaller cage, there's nowhere to go. You got to be ready to fight or whatever. Or am I just imagining that? Because it just seems like on a bigger cage, there's more room to kind of, for lack of a better term,
run
around. Yeah. But on the, I mean, yeah. that thing in the cage, I mean, that thing is small. So you got to be ready because you're right there, right? I mean, is that true? I mean, you who fought in it, you know, can let us know.
Yeah. Like, well, we always try to go in there before and try to fill out the ring and everything like that. So, you know, most fighters go in the middle of it and then they kind of take a couple steps and kind of see how far it is to the back. And right. you don't want to get pushed up against the cage. So, you know, okay, well, in this cage, if I'm going this many steps back, I don't want to get past this many steps because if so, then right. I'm going to possibly be end up in the cage and in trouble and I don't want to be yeah. there. So you try to kind of work in a just a little area in the center of the cage. And that's just with any wherever you fight, you know what I mean? You want to stay in the center. So that when you train, you're not sitting there wanting to run around all over the gym, like end up from yeah. one spot to the end, you know what I mean? You want to stay in a little area where you know that it's good inside control, like, you know, you're going to be able to kick and get kicked. So, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, because a lot of people think that they're just in there, like, just jumping around or warming up. But you're actually, especially like that, when that cage is so small, you want to see how far it is or whatever, if you want to keep the fight more towards the middle or whatever. So I totally, totally get what you're talking about. But real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Bobby Chulo, and we're talking to Jamie Hinshaw, atomweight champion for King of the Cage. I got my man Freddie Havoc hanging out with me, and we're talking a little bit about, you know, what it takes to get in that cage and the stuff that you go through. Now, have you been keeping up at all with some of the fight scene, like UFC and stuff like that while this pandemic's been going on?
Here and there. I sit there and watch. But I'm not like a fangirl because I know that there are people just like me, you know what I mean? So I'm just... You know, if I see the fights or whatever, or interested, I'll watch them. But it's not like, oh, my God, I have to watch the fights. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. The last pay-per-view that they had, it was a huge fight because Peter Yan fought Aljamain Sterling, which was a big matchup. And what happened was, you know, they go over the rules and everything with you before the fights. The referees get together they give you all the rules. So what happened was Peter Yan hit Jermaine Sterling while he was down. He had all 4 points down. And, I mean, he literally grabbed him by his arms, pulled him in, and kneed him directly in the side of the head. And, you know, he couldn't continue, and which makes a lot of sense that the announcers were saying, look, you know, even if he does say, no, I'm okay and I want to keep fighting, he's not 100%. He's still buzzed or whatever. You know, they can't send him back out there. So they disqualified Peter Yan and they gave the belt to Aljamain Sterling on, you know, a disqualification. Man, that dude has caught so much slack. Like, oh, I can't believe you accepted that belt and, you know, whatever. So give me your thoughts on that. First of all, I mean, if somebody illegally needs you, like just a straight shot right on the side of your head with the knee, I mean, you wouldn't want to continue because you're not going to be 100%, right? So there's nothing you can do, right?
I don't know. Like I said, it's so different when you're in that position. You could sit there and say, oh, I would do this or whatever, but whenever things end up coming push to shove, it's a totally different story. With him, I think that they're giving him a little bit too much crap. Like, it was out of his control. He's not in control of his opponent or the ref's call.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like, and a lot of people saying, oh, he should have just not took the accepted the belt and stuff like that. It's like, do you understand this is a business and you can't just do that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't want to piss off people. Like, I think it's just a lot of ignorance between a lot of people and them not really knowing. And it's like, you are not in that cage. And some of the fighters that are giving them slack, like I said, you could sit there and say, oh, I wouldn't do this and that, but unless you're in that position and getting that much money and everything like that, and
yeah.
like I said, out of your control, I just be quiet. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
I
don't know.
There's always a Monday morning quarterback to say, oh, he should have did this and he should have did that. But until, like you said, until you're in that cage and see what it's like, you have no – that's how come I have the utmost respect for any fighter that steps in that cage, because it takes a lot, man. You get in that cage door shuts. It's just you and that person and the referee. That's it. You know, so it takes a lot to get in there. And for somebody like Jamie, who's the atomweight king of the cage champion, I mean, it just goes to show, you know, hard work pays off. But anyways, Jamie, not just because you're on the show or whatever. I mean, I got to tell you, man, I always enjoyed going to Albuquerque. I was always treated so well over there when we used to get the itinerary and it said, I'm going to Albuquerque and Dean's going to Minnesota or something. I'm like, yes, thank God, because I always enjoyed it out there and had such a good time. I'm hoping that maybe by some act of God, I can go back or whatever and do a few more. And if I do, that's the first one I ask for. So we look forward to it. So the people listening to us here on Wrestling Boss, don't forget, check out Jamie Hinshaw. If you want to check her out on Facebook, just put Jamie. It's J-A-Y-M-E, because I kept putting J-M-M-I-E. And I went, why is she not coming up? And I was putting the wrong one in. So it's J-A-Y-M-E Hinshaw. You can follow her on Facebook. Any more social media that you have going on, Jamie, or just Facebook?
I have Instagram. I'm not too active on Twitter or anything like that. And on there it has like some links to some of my other pages.
Okay, perfect. So I'll make sure I give that at the end of the show so you guys can keep up with her. I appreciate you coming on. Please, man, when you see, you know, John, Judy, Arlene, all of them at Fit AHB, tell them I miss them. I hope to be back out there soon. And I personally hope King of the Cage gets going again, man, because that's some good stuff. It gets the people out there. They have the Monday show on MAV TV. You know, that gives everybody a lot of exposure. So we look forward to seeing that. So, all right, Jamie, I appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you again real soon. Okay, my friend?
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, you got it. For the people listening, don't forget Jamie Hinshaw. Make sure you check her out. Freddie and I will be right back after this. Jamie Hinshaw, everybody.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.
Pinches Manteca fingers cut the commercial off because my fingers slid across me. Sorry about that. We'll make sure we put that one back on. But for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Bobby Chulo. Got my man Freddie Havoc hanging out with me. We just got finished talking to Jamie Hinshaw. Freddie, do you watch any MMA at all? You watch any UFC or anything like that?
I do. I actually I watched a lot of MMA growing up, obviously. I watched fighting in the old days. UFC,
yeah.
Not as early as everybody else, but I was caught in the UFC when it started to hit, you know, make its comeback.
Yeah.
Watched a few of King of the Cage. Actually, I went to high school with some guys that wrestled for, that fought in King of the Cage, that were training out of a place out in Rancho Cucamonga called Shark Tank.
Yeah. Very familiar with the Shark Tank. Well, I worked for them for a solid 4 years, and dude, it's funny because I got my start through John Della O, you know, because he started Long Beach Fight Night, and he was like, hey, bro, why don't you come do the announcing for me? And I'm like, yeah, and then that parlayed into working for King of the Cage, and it was, it was one of the best 4.5 years that I've ever had. I mean, I got paid, they took care of my hotel and airfare, you know, I just had to, you know, be there for the weigh-ins, and then I didn't have to be at the cage till 5 o'clock on Saturday. So I had the whole, you know, morning and afternoon to myself, and I went from here all the way up to Niagara Falls doing shows. And it was just
nice.
It was awesome. It was awesome. So I really miss it. The circumstances, I'll tell you off the air, the circumstances which led to my demise. But anyways, it's good. You know, I made a lot of friends. You know, Jamie Hinshaw was one of them. I mean, I respect people who respect the business, just like in pro wrestling. And she's one who did. She made sure that even if she wasn't booked, she was there. She was helping John Judy. She would, you know, work the cage, you know, like the door, opening the door if they needed it or whatever. She, even if she wasn't booked, she was helping, and it paid off, you know, as the Atomweight champion. But anyways, good luck to her, man. Hopefully, you know, she's going to keep going. Now, real quick, Freddie, the whole big thing first of all, I want to talk about AEW, because I thought that match, first of all, Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley surprised me on their first match, because they really, I mean, they hit each other with that barbed wire, and you could see the holes from where they were hitting each other. And it was really, they made a really good match. So the second one I was looking forward to, and when it fizzled at the end, I mean, you know, the guys had to catch a lot of slack off of that. But first of all, before we talk about that, give me your thoughts on this, okay? I was so happy when AEW first came to fruition. I thought, okay, this is going to be a fed that the boys kind of have a say-so, because you can't let the inmates run the asylum. I get that. You have to have some sort of, you know, somebody in charge says, look, this is what we're going to do. Okay. But, you know, listen to them. They know. They know what kind of works and what doesn't. So together, you know, you can make a good show. And now it seems like Tony, when I heard that Sammy Guevara got sent to Impact, and then something happened, he barely touched down in Memphis or whatever, and they sent him right back. And then I read Tony Khan okayed it, or Tony Khan signed off on it. I thought, well, we're going right back to the same thing. You know how Vince McMahon has to sign off on everything. Now Tony Khan has to sign off. I mean, it seems like we're back in the same boat. I mean, would you agree?
I agree to an extent. I mean, it's just like you said, you can't have the inmates run the asylum, right? I mean, if...
Right.
I think Tony Khan, you know, does have to have some say, you know, at least some. I don't know how much some you want to give some so much power. Like, you don't want to give him Vince McMahon power, obviously. But I mean, there's definitely got to be some kind of say, and that's normal. I mean, you know, he is a man. He is a businessman, and he does have to make sure that he's keeping the company at the best of his interest. You know.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. Now he's on camera. You know. Now he's a character. You know what I'm saying? We don't need you. You're not in the ring. You're not taking bumps. You're not getting injured. Or whatever. Stay off the camera, man. Stay in the office. Let the workers do the work. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I get it, dude. You own the company, but you know, like somebody like Cody Rhodes, who knows what's happened. The Young Bucks, who've been to, you know, New Japan and stuff like that. Kenny Omega, who's, you know, arguably one of the best wrestlers going around. Now they sit down and say, look, man, this is what we're thinking. And they do it, and then Tony Khan says, yeah, you know, I think that's a good idea. Well, let's add this, or let's subtract this. That I get. Okay, that I understand. But now he wants to become a character, and he's coming on Impact, and, you know, oh, look at us. And, you know, that I don't like. I'm sorry, bro. Okay, first of all, I catch a lot of slack for saying stuff like that, but somebody called me on it, because I'm always giving WWE a hard time. I'm saying, yeah, you're burying the Mexicans. You don't know what you're doing. The Andrade this and God is that. But then somebody sent me an email and said, look, man, if AEW called you tomorrow and said, hey, look, man, we need a manager to come and manage, you would be on the next plane out. And I said, you are damn right. So, I gotta kind of watch what I say or whatever. But that's just my feeling, man. I mean, it's getting kind of corny. First of all, I think Chris Jericho's one of the funniest guys ever. When he was doing that spot, and then he said, release the hounds, when they were doing that drone and the chihuahuas and everything, I thought that was the funniest thing ever. So it they get a little bit involved, you know, it makes for a good show. But you have one person, you know, I think it might be the demise. You give me your thoughts on that. You tell me, you think, okay, yeah, maybe Tony Khan should be making the decisions or with some people, or give me your thoughts on that.
I mean, my thoughts are like this. You know, listening to what you're saying and just thinking about it in my head right now, it's like, I like what he does with the press conferences and things like that. It reminds me almost of like a Dana White. You know, he does those press conferences, gives people the numbers, gives people the information they need, right? And I think that's perfect. Now, does he need to be an on-camera character? That I have to 100% agree with you. I don't think he does. You know, let him do the back stuff. Let him do the updates, you know, the health updates, the injury updates, stuff like that. I mean, you know, does he need to be on Impact TV doing something? No, like you said, he's not taking the bumps. He's not doing this. You know, it just looks, in my opinion, like I said, maybe I'll catch some flack right now too. Sometimes it comes off a little corny.
Yeah, it does. It's funny though, because I did get called out on it, and I'm like, yeah, you're right, man. I shouldn't talk that much spec. They said the same thing with WWE. Oh, dude, I bash WWE so much because I just think that they have so much talent, but that they just don't know how to use it. You know, it like I'll give you an example. The Lucha House Party, you know, Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik, they put them in NXT, and I was like, yes. And they had a match with those British guys, and it was everything I thought it was going to be. They went over, and I'm like, yes, it's funny. Maybe they'll win the whole Dusty Rhodes Cup or whatever. So happy. Next Wednesday, they put them on Raw against the ¿Cómo se llama este los morenitos with the MVP?
The Hurt Business.
The Hurt. They put them with the Hurt Business, and the Hurt Business went over. And I went, what are you doing? You just put them up, and now you buried them. So I know they're not going to go back to NXT and win over there. And then they lost to the guys that are with El Hijo de Fantasma. So I thought, who in the hell is doing this? You know. So I'm going on and on about it. You know. And to me, it just seems like. They need some. I just don't think that they know what to do with the talent. Do you agree? Because like guys like Andrade, Shinsuke Nakamura, the Lucha House Party, those guys can go. And then I think if you put them with certain people, they'll bring the roof down. I mean, do you agree, or you think I'm just nuts?
No, I agree. I mean, it shows what I think that they're not doing what they need to do. It shows that they don't know what to do with the talent. I mean, I just got a text message earlier today about Andrade asking for his release, and it was granted. You know, it's like, where has he been on TV for the last few months? You know, it's definitely one of those things where they don't know what they're doing in the sense of with all the characters. And I don't put the blame on everybody in WWE, but it's definitely I'm putting the blame, like, on the writers. You know, the writers do not know how to handle it.
Yeah, they just
don't. With them not knowing how to handle any of that, you have all these workers that aren't working. I mean, you know, Ricochet, you know, is an example. Like, where's he been, you know?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, there's another guy that I was watching for a game. Where's Valentine Green been in NXT?
Right.
You know,
they made Apollo Crews into like a voodoo type of character or something that comes out with guys from, I don't know, army dudes or whatever. And I'm like, that guy has got a lot of talent. I'm telling you, man, I've seen that guy when he was UHA Nation working for PWG. And that guy's got, and I just think they don't know what to do with. You put him and Cedric Alexander against Shinsuke Nakamura and Andrade, they'll bring the house down, dude. I mean, they will really do well. So I just think it's that. I just think it's a matter of they just don't know how to use them. So, you know, on the other hand, and I got to tell you, like I had the Chivos on with me not too long ago. And they made a good point. They said, look, man, we get it, you know, that they're not. He said, but you got to understand, you know, guys like Andrade and Garza, they're making a lot of money. It's good for them. They could buy a house. They could take care of their family. They put money away. So then when they do retire, they have something to fall back on. And I said, dude, I'm absolutely happy. You know, I'm glad that they can do that. I just wish that they would give them a little more push because they're really – I just hate for them to get buried. You kind of understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I definitely do. I mean, you know, like you said, you know, we don't want to see these guys get buried. We want to see them get used. I'm not saying you have to use them, you know, every day of the year. You know, you have enough talent where you can work, you know, you work some guys in, some guys out. Everybody gets a moment to shine. Obviously the guys that are hot, you keep them more, you keep the focus on them a little more. But you got to give these guys a chance to do their thing, to let the people see what they can do. And then, if they become hot, you start pushing them more. I mean, there's that thing that everybody talks about, the brass ring, you know, or getting the brass ring and running with it, you know? Yeah. How do you get the brass ring if you're not getting the opportunities?
Yeah. How can you climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets? Hold on real quick. I got somebody calling here. Let's see who's on the line real quick. Spinning. Come on. Hello, you're live on WrestleBoss. Who's this?
Hi, it's Nicolette Marie.
Hey, were you listening to our conversation?
I was, and I was listening to it in the beginning, too. I was going to tell Freddie Havoc something. I'm glad to see what you have him on, too, and I was listening from the beginning, and I heard you already got a caller calling in. That's awesome.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, Favi, I'll remind you, too. Yeah, we did go to that show. I think it was called Black Saturday, because it was the day after Black Friday.
Ah, yes.
Do you remember that? Yeah, for OCCW.
I do.
My godson's a big Freddie Havoc fan, and we went up to his merch table, and he didn't have any children's shirts. And he was like, hey, he's like, I'm going to keep my word. He's like, I'm going to get you a children's shirt. And it's been almost over a year, and I have not received the shirt.
Freddie? Okay. See, now I'm going to get it. So okay, for the record, we haven't had wrestling shows in a year, so I haven't had any chance to get some done. But I am working on new merch. You're not the only person that I promised a shirt to. And if one thing knows, everybody knows, is definitely I keep my word. So there's a new shirt design that I'll be unveiling within the next few weeks. I'm just trying to me being an artist myself is nagging me, but I've come down to a design. I think a design everybody will like. And trust me, he will have a shirt. And because he's been waiting such patiently, you know. And I remember giving him a high five, and he was so happy.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, his shirt will be on me. I will be on the house. There's no charge, no nothing. You know, I just need to know his size, so I make sure that I order a shirt for him on his size, and I'll take care of the rest.
So, Bobby, when it releases, please make sure that you post it on WrestleBoss so I can see when it's available.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. That's what we got going. But real quick, Nicolette Marie, we've got to tell the story. But I mean, we must talk about this story maybe once every month or so, because it's so funny when we were at the Lucha Expo, because we were with the only booth that was on the second floor. You know, I was doing a live broadcast. I was doing interviews and stuff like that. So we had a full view. You know what? I think they ran out of room. You know, the only thing that sucked, really, Freddie, was I was 2 or 3 weeks away from getting my left hip replaced, so I couldn't walk downstairs. So I'd see people downstairs, so I'd have to send Nicolette running back and forth to get people for me. But we got there. When you get there in the morning, that's when everybody's getting set up. They're setting up their booths and everything like that. So the Lucha homies were setting up their booth. They were right below us. And they sent Freddie and said, hey, Freddie goes, I'm going to McDonald's. You guys want anything? They're like, yeah, bro, give me this and give me that or whatever. So he comes back and he gives Mariachi the coffee. And Mariachi said, Freddie was already a good 20 yards away. And he said, hey, he goes, too sweet. It's too sweet. And Freddie's like, what do you want me to do? You remember that, Nicolette?
I remember. And then when we asked Freddie about it weeks later, he was like, I don't work at McDonald's. Like, I just do the best that I could. And the thing is, you thought you didn't go to that McDonald's because the way you're saying that you can't walk, like, far distances. It was very, very rowdy. There was, like, homeless people in there. I don't know, Freddie, did you go alone?
No, I went with my buddy of mine, Eddie, and we both walked down there. And I got what they asked me to do. He asked for, I think, like 6 sugars, and I had, like you said, there was homeless people. I had to walk down there with backup, you know, like.
We laugh about that because we'll be at work and Jessica will go, she'll get coffee on Uber Eats or whatever it's called. And I don't care what it tastes like. I'll go, hey, too sweet. It's too sweet. So, but we had a good time, man. I mean, the Lucha Expo is always, so Kevin Kleinrock, Ruben Zamora, hey man, once this pandemic's over, the next one was supposed to be in Philadelphia. So we were looking forward to that. I personally hope they bring it back to like San Diego or Las Vegas or whatever, but you know, they're working hard on that. So we look forward to the next one. So anything else, Nicolette Marie?
No, thank you so much, Freddie. Yeah, I'm so happy you're a part of, you're joining WrestleBoss now, or where are you joining?
He's going to come with me on UWC.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Okay. Awesome. Are you working the show?
Yes. Everything kind of switched up. So now it's going to be, which is great that you mentioned that, it's going to be Super Canero, Freddie Havoc, and 1,000% Knockout Nicolette Marie versus Manny Mars, Lady Cynthia, and Captain Corona.
Oh, got it. Okay. two things. One, I've never worked with Super Canelo before, and I got his name mixed up like 1,000 times. I thought he was Ramses. I've only met him one time through Guyam and Enigma. I don't.
Yeah,
so
the,
Freddie, you translate for me since I don't speak Spanish. Yeah, I don't speak Spanish, and that tells me that the unholy has to work.
Well, you know what? I already told him if he's available, I'll make it into a 8-man.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah,
okay, perfect.
Definitely, definitely. If he's available, we'll work him in there, and then we'll go from there. But that's that one's
one
set.
More thing for Freddie too. Freddie, I saw you're doing big things out in Yuma.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're doing the Yuma show for a company called VWE. They've been huge believers in me. You know, they took a chance on me not too long ago. You know, Fabi asked me earlier a question, like, what have I done since that last show you saw me at out here in Orange County? And, you know, they took a big chance on me. They put me in the main event, and I wrestled James Ellsworth, one of my last few shows before the pandemic. You know, and they believed in me. And Ellsworth and I, you know, we killed it. You know, we brought the roof down. You know, everybody went home happy. You know, I got a lot of good feedback from, you know, from my trainers on how proud they were and the match and just everything out, you know, that we put out there. And you know, I even had some family and friends, you know, make the drive out to Brawley. That show was down in Brawley at the time. And, you know, they were quite surprised at the support that I get, you know. And now, you know, we're doing the show in Yuma. And, you know, I got a bunch of people in Yuma, you know, hitting me up for tickets, hitting me up for how the show's going to run. And, you know, we're expecting a big turnout, you know, in on the 27th of this month. Later this month will be my first match since the pandemic happened.
Now, when you go to Yuma, do you drive yourself or do you drive with a bunch of different people or how does that work?
Well, this will be my first time going to Yuma, you know, and obviously with having some other guys from the school, on the card, you know, we're probably going to drive out together or some of us will probably drive out. It just depends on how we want to do it. Most of the time, though, you know, we carpool and take care of that.
Okay. Cause you have not paid your dues until you've made a 4-hour trip with the Ballard brothers and Hector Canales, because the BO and farts. Dude, if you could survive that, you could survive anything. So I think that'll be in the dues paid category. But anything else, Nicolette, before we let you get out of here? We appreciate you calling in, that's for sure.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much for picking up the call, too. I didn't know, because I know you guys get prank calls a lot, too. So I was like, hopefully they'll answer because it's me calling.
Hey,
yeah, thank you so much. Freddie, I'll join again, too, when you're on sometime.
Yeah, this
awesome.
Is the
thank
first
you.
Time.
And we'll keep in touch for that shirt.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Course.
And this is the first time we've had two callers that were actually callers, not pranking like they usually do. So we appreciate that. So for the people listening, don't forget Nicolette Marie, Freddie Havoc, both booked for the April 18th. It's going to be at Paul's Photos in the city of Hawthorne. We'll keep everybody up to date. As a matter of fact, we have a meeting not this Sunday, but next Sunday to get everything all set in stone. So we'll make sure we keep everybody informed on that. All right, Nicolette Marie, appreciate you coming on. We'll see you
soon,
Bobby. Okay?
Thanks, Freddie.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Big thanks to Nicolette Marie for calling in and talking and doing some reminiscing. I'm telling you, man, that show's going to be jumping off, so we'll make sure we keep everybody informed on that. In the home stretch here with WrestleMania, WrestleBoss.com. Make sure you check out WrestleBossLive.com. No, I got Freddie Havoc hanging with me. You know, I'm talking to you a lot about getting called out on stuff. And I have, and just, you know, everybody has an opinion, dude. I mean, I hate to be that grizzled old veteran or whatever, as you would call it. But, I see things and I think, man, this, if they would just do this or do this. One thing that I get a lot of slack from, and this is just me. I mean, okay, what I don't particularly like. I like AEW's women's division. I think they made a smart move by bringing in the girls from Japan, because the girls from that wrestle in Japan are on a way different level, like the girls from Shimmer and stuff like that. So, it, you know, bringing them in brought a whole new level, you know, to the women's division. So, would you agree on that, Freddie?
I agree. There's definitely a lot of great women that they're bringing in. There's just one thing that I don't like that they don't do that I wish they did. WWE does. You know, like, I'll give you an example. Like, right now, WWE is doing these vignettes for Rhea Ripley coming over to Raw or SmackDown. Yeah. I'm not sure where she's going to go. You know, and I feel like for, you know, that AEW takes a kind of, I feel like the fans, they get taken for granted. Like, they almost expect everybody to know who they are. Like, it'd be nice to see some vignettes, to get some history, some background of these workers, of the girls, especially from Japan, you know? And that way people can get pumped up to see them. Like you know, you got to remember that there's still a fresh new audience. You know, let's show, you know, let's not only, you know, put the focus and spotlight on the new people that you're bringing in, but give us some history, you know?
Yeah, just don't assume that they know, you know, let them know. Yeah. That's a good point. That's why we have Freddie Havoc on, because he could bring a perspective like that. Now, what I get a lot of slack on, and I get your thoughts on this, you know, Nyla Rose is, you know, she came out as transgender, blah, 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 whatever. I don't think that she should be in the women's division. That's like Freddie, if I decided, you know what, I'm not doing very well in the men's division or whatever, I'm just going to say I'm transgender and just go wipe out all the women. Okay, so, you know, we're talking about that, and I was talking to Nicolette about that, and she goes, well, you know, what do you want them to do? I go, look, okay, you see how big she is. She's a lot bigger. I think the only woman that's bigger than her is Nia Jax. But yeah, she's so much bigger, so when she's hitting people and clotheslining and screaming, I'm thinking, you're a dude. You know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be blunt like that, but, you know, you're still a man. You know, you should. So she, if you're going to be transgender and you're going to be in the women's division, you should be strictly technical. I mean, like Zack Sabre Jr., you know, because it's not fair. I just don't like it. I'm sorry, man. I just don't think that it's cool. We had something similar in MMA. You know, we had a Fallon Fox was a transgender, and he was just whooping women's ass until he ran up against Ashley Evans or whatever. So give me your thoughts on that. I mean, if there's a place for it, I think it should just be a technical wrestler, not just smashing people. I really honestly don't think it should be in there at all. Give me your thoughts on that.
All right, here's my thought. I'm going to actually start off with the question to help people understand, because I know there's probably listeners out there that are saying that are probably going to knock on you and say that stuff like that.
Right.
But, I mean, let's just use this as an example. This isn't an example from me, but I heard it, and it made sense to me when I heard it. Would you be okay if LeBron James tomorrow woke up and said, you know what, I'm transgender, I'm going to go play for the WNBA. And he goes to the WNBA, and he scores like 100 points by himself on everybody.
Right.
You know, would people be okay with that? Or would they be like, no, he should be playing in the NBA?
Yeah.
You know, it's like why can't he? Why? Can you imagine? He dunks on all 9 players, not even one.
Yeah.
Even his own team, he dunks on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, would you be okay with that? Probably not. And everybody's going to complain that, oh, he should be, you know, why can we say that about LeBron? Hey, you got to make sure you play on the men's side. You know, why can't we say that with the transgender? And
right.
I, you know, I do agree with that. I do agree with there are limitations that you should do, especially for, like you said, the example of the MMA fighter that was doing it. I don't remember his name, but I do remember the story. I was following up on that when it happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's, You know, it's basically, you know, we as men are born with a, you know, more muscular structure, where women
right.
are not, you know, and you're getting pummeled, you know, especially in MMA. Well, as far as wrestling, you know, you see transgender wrestling very, very popular. I'm sorry, not transgender wrestling. In men versus women wrestling in the independent scene. You know, why can't they do it that way? You know, like if she wants to wrestle, then you know, give her men to wrestle as well. You know, because it just looks, you know, it's a different vibe. I know that wrestling, you know, people are going to say, oh, it's choreographed and this and that, and they know what they're doing. Yeah, I get it. You know, and maybe that's why I'm not as biased on it. Like, okay, I can understand it and see that, but don't just give her the women, you know, give her some transgender matches. Intergender matches is what I'm saying. Why don't you say transgender?
Yeah.
See, I'm terrible. I should go back to school.
It's true. It makes sense, man. It does. I just think it's, you made a good example of that. If Michael Jordan decided to go transgender, basketball wouldn't even be a sport. It'd be the Michael Jordan sport or whatever. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And if it's let me put it this way. I was watching AEW and they had a six man, and Thunder Rosa went up to go like to the ropes to go like flinch on Vicky Guerrero or whatever, Nyla Rose came and hit her with the clothesline, like from behind, and smashed her face right into the rope. And people don't understand, those ropes are hard, dude. They do not play. Like, if you hit the back of your head on those ropes, you'll be buzzed for a while. And I was like, God dang it. And, you know, they're not going to stop until somebody gets hurt. And that's going to suck. That's all I'm saying. That's, you know, I get emails and messages, oh, you know, you shouldn't be like that, but I'm just telling you the way I feel. That's just me. So anyways, whatever,
you know,
man,
and that's the thing though. I mean, you know, like when we were in training, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure you were one of the guys just like me that we were told, you know, be snug, be stiff, you know, go in there and work hard, you know, and you know, there's times where you just can't hold back. Like, I've wrestled guys that you know, are not as snug and not as stiff, and then they come at me later and like, hey, you were stiff in that ring. Like, I'm like, well, hold on, no, I wasn't reckless. You know, that's the way I was told. That's the way I was taught. You know, I was told to go in there, and you're gonna get physical. You know, I now, you know, with the newer kids and stuff like that, I let them know way ahead of time. Like when I'm training with them, hey, I come at people stiff. You know, one of my training partners that I train with, I tell them all the time, hey, I'm sorry if I throw potatoes, but I throw potatoes sometimes. It just happens, you know,
and if you're not prepared for it or whatever, and you don't, it's going to happen. So you have to prepare yourself for it.
Exactly. You know, you have to know, and then that's the thing, you know, maybe again, we don't know where she trained, but she probably trained somewhere that they train really stiff. And you know, she's over here throwing these clotheslines from behind and knocking people in the ropes. And like you said, the ropes are unforgiving.
I mean, but what are you going to do if she paralyzes somebody, you know, goes for like an inverted pile driver or something, and just, you know, because women don't weigh as much as men, you know, especially the ones she's wrestling, those little, you know, the lighter girls from Japan and stuff like that. That's all I'm worried about. Because it only takes one time. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't want that one time to happen. We know, Freddie Havoc and I know what it's like to train and get yourself ready. And you know, the last thing you want to do is get hurt and end up in a wheelchair. But anyways, I'm running up.
Well, look at Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Nia Jax is a lot of flat.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Why is she
still working?
Okay, so here's the thing. So there's some of her stuff. You know, I know you're running against the clock, but some of her stuff, I get it. Some of the injuries she's done are very questionable, especially when she busted Becky Lynch's nose, right?
Yeah.
But then she got flack the other day for the Dana Brooke, you know, when Dana Brooke, you know, got thrown out the ring and she busted up her shoulder. I looked at that, and I'm sorry. That's all Dana Brooke. She did not protect herself.
Right.
She did not.
Right.
She didn't do anything right. Like, Nia Jax did nothing, and yet she's getting the flack because of her history, which is bullshit.
Exactly. Well, what about Shayna Baszler kicks, what's her name, right in the mouth, and tooth goes flying? I'm like, what are you doing? I don't know.
So real quick on that one.
Go ahead.
I saw that. When it happened live, and I said, holy crap, holy shit, right?
Yeah.
Then I saw the replay in slow motion, and that was not on Shayna Baszler. It just so happened that she was kicking her chest, and for some reason, Asuka tucked her chin in, and she put her face into the kick.
Yeah.
It was not on Shayna Baszler. I guess she's going to get the heat because she's the fall, but it wasn't on
just because you see a tooth flying, it just looked really bad. But I kind of saw that, and I thought that, too. But then I didn't want to be it was her fault. But, you got to understand, too, that when you're in the heat of the moment, you might want to tuck in or whatever because you feel the kick coming. And she tucked too much and, bam, got it right in the mouth. That falls under the category of that happens, or whatever. So, but as long as Shayna went back and said, hey, man, I tried to kick your chest, but you move forward. You know what I mean? Then it's like, yeah, get it, man, or whatever. But doing stuff on purpose is ridiculous.
I had a match, not recently, but, in the last few years, we were doing a kendo stick match, and
mm-hmm.
I went to clock him with the kendo stick like I normally do, and I'm keeping in mind, I'm coming from a standing position, and he's kneeling down, he's on his knees.
Yeah.
And when I went to swing, he decided to look up. So instead of me hitting the top of his head, I hit him all face. And man, I've never felt so bad in my life. And when it happened initially, I thought I ended this kid's career. I was like, I was shitting bricks. I was calling him weekly. I was calling him daily.
Yeah.
Just to make sure he was okay. As much as we were competitive in that ring, the last thing I want is to beat that. When I finally got to see the match on tape and replay, that's when I realized that he looked up at me.
Yeah.
Like when you're in that moment, man, you're not pulling back. You're just going full swing, and it just so happened that he looked up, and I don't understand why he looked up. And after we talked and we explained it, he looked at me. He's like, "Yeah, you're right. I looked up. I should have never looked up." I was like, "I didn't catch it." I was still trying to figure out what the hell did I do wrong.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
But see, it happens. It happens. And if you're doing stuff like that on purpose, sooner or later you're gonna be done. People are just going to say, I'm not booking you more because it's a liability for me as a promoter or whatever. So, but the bottom line is, and it's been said all the time, we just want to make sure we have a good match and everybody goes home. Injuries are going to happen, but we just want to make sure everybody goes home safe. That's it. So we definitely look forward to go ahead.
I almost threw it down with somebody that just recently, just because I called him out on the shit that he was doing wrong. You know, it was a guy that. I'll mm-hmm. mention his name if you want me to. I don't really care. There is heat with us. This isn't a storyline. Mm-hmm. This isn't anything. He was swinging a chair and he was swinging the chair upside down, and he was clocking the guy. And after the show, I went up to him and I was like, "Hey man, you don't do that crap. You this and that." And he looked at me and he's like, "Who do you think you are?" I was like, "Dude, I'm just coming up to you and telling you, like, hey, man, you need to protect you. You're not protecting anybody. You're being sloppy." I was like, "If that was me, I would have thrown down with you in the ring."
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know what you're doing, get out of the ring. He looks at me and he's like, "I don't know who you think you are, but you're just a washed up wrestler. I don't need to listen to you."
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Let's just say I had to voodoo his ass out.
Yeah, in that situation, it should have been up to the promoter to go, "Look, dude, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to work here anymore, because you're going to get somebody hurt." So for you to call him, we see it. Maybe the promoter doesn't see it or whatever, but, it's up to them to take care of the wrestlers. And I'm sure a lot of stuff, like if somebody comes up to me as a promoter and says, "Look, man, I'm going to swing this chair or whatever." Okay, well, make sure you know what you're doing. Or whatever. So, we got to do that. We could spend hours on that, but unfortunately I'll run up against the clock. I have every show I do, I have a big question. And
yes,
today
sir.
It's going to be, who do you think is the most underrated tag team that's going today? Me personally, and I went over a whole bunch of different tag teams, but the ones, first of all, I've always thought they were good. And at the first Lucha Expo, I got a chance to interview these guys and talk to them. And after talking to them on and off the air, I mean, dude, the nicest guys, they really put a lot into it. And I really think they're underrated. My pick is Santana and Ortiz. What about yourself? Who do you think is right now is the most underrated tag team?
In any company? Anywhere?
Anywhere.
You know what? It's going to sound like I'm biased, and maybe it's because of my connection with them.
Uh-huh.
But to me, it's the Lucha Homies.
Well, okay. This is why the Lucha Expo is so great. Okay, because I got a chance to talk to Santana and Ortiz at the first Lucha Expo. Nice guys, and I saw them work. And what's good about Lucha Expo is they put them in with different people. And if I'm not mistaken, Kevin will probably correct me if I'm wrong, because it was a while back. If I remember correctly, they worked with Papi La Máscara and somebody else. And I mean it. You know who it was? It was Kevin Cross, the one that's in WWE now. He was Killer Cross or whatever back then. And I saw. I said, man, these guys can work with anybody. I mean, they put on a show. And I was like, wow. So when they made it to WWE, I thought, yeah, they could. You know, you put them against Penta and Rey Fénix, dude. That was that was a show and a half. I think they're kind of, I don't know, kind of what's the word I'm looking for. Evening out or whatever in AEW, but I think they're very underrated. I think if you let them go and even put the belts on them, they can really, really get you to the promised land. So that being said, when I went to the Lucha Expo and they said that they're going to put Mariachi and Little Cholo against the Lucha Brothers with mm-hmm. Fénix and Zokri, I thought, dude, that's going to steal the show. And sure enough, man, I mean, they delivered 100%. And I talk a lot about dance partners, you know, and I said, well, you put Mariachi and Cholo against those guys, two good dance partners for them. And they blew the roof off that place, man. I mean, that was one match that was really, I've seen a lot of good matches, but that was probably one of the best Lucha matches that I've seen in quite some time. So you make a good point there, my friend. What do you think? What do you think the future holds for Mariachi and Little Cholo? They've been grinding it out for quite some time. They got to Lucha Underground, you know, which had a good run, and now it kind of, you know, led them on to some other things. There's so much talent out there. I think if you took Mariachi Loco and Little Cholo and gave them one shot, and they got to wrestle Santana and Ortiz, I think that match they would be like, dude, let's book these dudes. What do you think?
You know, I heard, you know, back in the Lucha Expo, I was hearing rumblings that they were trying to put that match together. You know, I heard through that there was interest from various promoters. They wanted to have that match happen. I definitely, you know, had my eyes open. You know, as far as the Lucha Homies and where do I think they can go? They can go anywhere. They can work with anybody. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I'm not saying it because they're my trainers or this and that, but
yeah.
Every time they're in a match, whether it's a singles match or a tag match, or I'm just here, I never walk away without learning something. There's always something that they teach, always something that they're teaching. The way they work with the crowd, the way the crowd loves them, the way they do their moves, the way, you know, they put a hump in the swing, you know, everything they do is for a reason, and a reason of their skill and where they can go. I mean, they can go anywhere, and I'm surprised that they haven't been booked anywhere. And you know what? I say this, but at the same time, I'm kind of like a greedy kid where I'm like, I'm kind of glad that they're not at these places sometimes. I'm not saying it in a bad way, because I'm just saying in the sense of I would have never got the opportunity to train with them and push myself to these limits, you know, that I put myself in. Like, they made me believe in myself, you know, and they give me the confidence that you know, a lot of places I never felt that confidence before. And the way they work, like I said, the way they work, the way they handle themselves, you know, it's by far two of the guys that I look up to. That, you know, I hope that when I'm in that ring, you know, like you said, I'm doing my thing and I'm learning and I'm killing it. I'm hoping that every time, you know, I'm making them proud. Like, you know, they'll be the first to tell you that, you know, when I'm done with my match, I look for either or, you know, because sometimes they're not on the car together, you know, and I look for either or and I'm like, how did I do? Tell me, you know, and I want to learn.
Yeah, it sets the bar. It sets the bar. Well, I've known Little Cholo since he was 14, 15 when I was working for WPW. And, I you know, it's funny because I have a VHS tape of when we did a show. I think it was in like Santa Barbara or something like that. And Little Cholo was just getting his feet wet and he wrestled against Martin's son, who was Ice King or something like that. We had so much fun. I mean, we used to have so much fun back then. But, I mean, you know, when you're wrestling on lucha cards and you're 15, 16 years old, I mean, there's no substitute for experience or whatever. It came up, you know, through the ranks and WWE. We used, you know, back then we used to have so much fun because Martin, you know, we'd do the shows and then we'd help take the ring down and everything. And then we'd go back to Martin's house. They lived in Newport Beach or whatever. And his wife would make us like, you know, a full dinner, pot roast, the potatoes and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in WWE, you know, because they used to take such good time. And he was always there. I mean, he was always around practice. And when we do the big shows and when, you know, Blue Panther and all those guys would come in, we were always all together and all working and like a family or whatever. So that's why he is, you know, as good as he is. And when you put him with Mariachi, okay, I'm going to make a quick service announcement here on WrestleBoss Live because I work for two different companies. So Big House Promotions and UWC. Let me make this quick service announcement before we get off the air. Okay, both the promoters that I work with. Let's put Mariachi Loco and Little Cholo versus Mecha Wolf and Daga. I think that would make a good match. So let's make that happen. All right, man. There you go. I think Daga is one of the most underrated wrestlers. I think Mecha Wolf is super underrated. I mean, I've seen those guys some matches that. Well, first of all, we were working for RGR in Laguna Hills. And it was supposed to be Damien and Bestia, and Damien got sick. He couldn't come. He got the COVID, man. So we're in the dressing room, and I turn around, and I see Daga, and I go, dude, I go, did you come? He goes, nah, man, Damien couldn't make it, so I came along. And I'm like, holy shit. So I was like, dude, that's the, you know, so I usually leave because, you know, we work, and I got to go to work next day. But I stayed, and I said, man, that guy is awesome. I've seen Daga wrestle Jake Alexander in PCW, and far and away for 2019 match of the year. I mean, I watched it. I was first of all, I had the flu. I was so sick, but Nicolette and I went to go check out because we were a guest of Joseph, and I was sitting in the second row. And dude, I work hard for my money, but I pulled some dollars out of my pocket. I couldn't even throw them in the ring because I was so sick. So I gave them to the lady in front of me and said, excuse me, can you give these to these wrestlers or whatever? And for me to do that, that takes a lot. So Mariachi Loco, Little Cholo versus Mecha Wolf and Daga, we're going to make it happen in the year. If it takes till 2022, we're gonna make that happen, and it's going to be slamming. But anyways, Freddie, I got to take just a quick break, and then I'm going to wrap it up with you real quick. Okay, hang on 1 second. Last commercial, and then we'll get out of here. Hold on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Got to make sure we get that Lucha Central commercial real quick.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Gotta pay the bills, right?
I'm telling you, man. I appreciate you coming on. I look forward to working with you on Sundays for the people listening. I'll make sure we post it up on all our social media and everything. So it's going to be – this is why I have somebody like Freddie on so I can bounce some stuff back and forth because I'm the grizzled – old veteran, and I hate to sound like an old man. That's why I have Freddie, so he can give us the younger perspective on the pro wrestling business and stuff like that.
Younger than you.
Well, believe me, you are. I'm telling you, man. I've been around for a long time. So we look forward to you know, to keeping up with you and everything like that. For the people listeners, make sure you put Fred Gabriel in your search engine if you want to follow him on there. Big things coming up, so make sure you follow him on there. Make sure you follow us here on WrestleBossLive.com. As well, you can go to Favi Chulo if you want to check out my Facebook and all my social media. I try to keep everybody up to date on there because I got so much going on. But, you know, when you work in the medical field and there's a pandemic going on, you have no idea how much work. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm
that's what we
in
had
the medical field.
Yeah, that's why we had to move the show, man, because it's so busy right now. But you know how it is, Freddie. You got to get it when you can. So it's funny because when I saw Freddie at Fantastic Burgers, we just went to take my wife to get her first vaccination for the COVID or whatever. So, I mean, it's just, you know, which is a good thing. I think things happen for a reason because I, you know, I got so much going on. When I saw Fred, I said, damn, I got to get that going, man, because he's a good integral part of what I want to accomplish with this show here and, you know, a couple of the different companies that I work for. So I look forward to Freddie, we're going to have a big meeting, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, and we're going to start branching out into some different things, and Freddie Havoc is going to be a big part of it, so we'll keep everybody posted. A main thank you for coming on, man. I just wanted you to come on so we can, you know, talk some stuff and get some stuff going, and then I think it's just going to take off from here. All right, my man?
I appreciate it, man, and if I can real quick, I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening or is going to listen, you know, on the podcast. You know, I appreciate being on here, all the callers. You know, keep an eye out. I got big things coming up, big announcements, obviously working with you in the future as well with the podcast and everything. You know, there's just so much that's going on, and there's so much to take in. I know that the time frame kicked our butts today, but thank you to everybody. Yeah. Thank you to I want to thank my sponsors as well. You know, Slick and
Go
Nasty Clothing, you know, Slick and Nasty Wrestling Department for sponsoring me, for, you know, making me a sponsored athlete, Collar and Elbow as well. You know, I'm working on some new sponsors as well. You know, Dixon Flannel. You know, hopefully something happens with those guys. You know,
yeah.
And like I said, if people want to make the drive, you know, they can come watch my first match back in action on the 27th of this month for VWE in Yuma, Arizona. You can follow me on Facebook. Like I said, Fred Gabriel. I live my gimmick. You know, what you see on my Facebook is what I am in the ring. I'm just a fun guy having fun fighting for the underdog. Any charity events that I do, all my charity events that I'm involved with, I post on there, you know, and you know, if you have Instagram, you can follow me at Lifes. That's LIFES _ a turntable. Just the way it sounds. I used to DJ, so that's why I kind of kept it, you know, just life throwing music at you. And so again, once again, that's Lifes turntable on Instagram. You can follow me there. I post a lot of random stuff. But I just like when you see me in the ring, I'm having fun. I like to have fun in real life. You know, I just like to make people laugh, and hopefully my posts and things like that make people laugh.
Hey, I think other than making coffee too sweet, I think you got something there. So I'm sure it's just going to keep snowballing from there. So, hey, I look forward to meeting with you. Go ahead.
I think Nicolette's gonna be mad. I'm gonna have to go design a new shirt with coffee too sweet.
Yeah, just put too sweet. Yeah, it's perfect. That'll be a million shirt seller. But hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. We look forward to doing a lot of good things with Freddie Havoc. For the people listening here on Lucha Central at Wrestle Boss Live, I gotta load it up with ladies next week because when we have all women on here, the ratings just spike, man, for some reason. So we're gonna load it up next week, and I'll see Freddie not this Sunday.
Oh.
But next Sunday, and don't go ahead. You got one more?
I'm sorry, one more. Real quick, for anybody out there,
if you're
listening
to this and you haven't visited Lucha Central.com, it's time.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that, guys. Real quick, anybody out there looking to get in the ring, train, you know, hit me up on Facebook, hit up Little Cholo, hit up Mariachi Loco, come down to Lucha Homies in Orange County. We are a fresh, new hybrid style Lucha Libre training wrestling school. You know, I have to put that plug in because.
Yeah,
they make me believe in myself, and we can help you believe in yourself and reach your goals and your dreams.
And not only that, you never know who's going to show up. Bandito showed up over there, Andrade with Charlotte Flair. I mean, dude, people show up, you know, over there,
and you never know.
Yeah, so you definitely want to go.
We also just had a Psycho Clown. Psycho Clown was here last week, like a week ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, so definitely, yeah, you want to go down there and go check that out, because not only will you get good training and good experience, you never know who's going to show up over there. So make sure you check that out. For the people listeners, we'll check out everybody next Friday. Make sure you're with us. A big thank you to my man, Freddie Havoc. Freddie, I'll see you real soon. All right, my friend, we'll be.
Thank you, bro.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.